This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. I'm Roshan Kanisan and welcome to The Morning Run. It's currently Thursday, April 2nd, 6:01 in the morning. And I'm joined in studio by Noel Lim and Koo Soo Chuang. How are you both doing at 6:01 in the morning?
Sleepy. What else?
I'm trying to stay as alert as possible.
I need to ban these words when I ask you guys. I think I'm going to give you a list of things you can't talk about when I ask you how you're doing at 6 o'clock in the morning.
So should we be optimistic or pessimistic?
I mean, you can go wherever you want. Just don't say things like sleepy or I want to sleep some more or I'm trying to be alert.
You know what would be really, really nice now? Nice theta rate, you know, with the Halia theta rate. Wow, that would be amazing.
You know,
Chuang, Mama shops are not open.
Yeah, that's why, you know.
Yeah, Chuang's really bad at this. He was talking yesterday about all the food he wanted and describing vividly the prawn meat. Let's not go into that again. I'm about to get hungry at 6 in the morning. All right, so we've got a great show lined up for all of you. And today, actually, BFM's trying out something new. At 11 a.m., we're hosting our first ever webinar. And this will be personal finance focused. So we're going to be talking to Nirmala Subramaniam at AKPK about bankruptcy, one thing, but the loan moratorium specifically. Get their thoughts on it. And I think in this webinar, you can get in your questions as well.
Sorry to interrupt, Roshan. I like the word you use, we. Actually, it's you that will be hosting the webinar. It's not us.
No, it's we because it's BFM is
hosting
it. Yes,
there's a BFM team, but that's just your face in the webinar.
So anyway, if you want to participate in that, let us know. Join. Go over to bfm.my/webinar. Now, focusing back on the show, guys, what do we have lined up today, Noel?
How businesses could emerge better after COVID-19 or indeed after this MCO movement. Control order.
And what about you, Chuang?
I've been given politics and current affairs again.
You've been given.
By Roshan Kanisan.
Yes, by Roshan Kanisan. So I'll be talking about really interesting stuff like bazaars and movement control orders and, you know, basically boundaries and things like that.
Fascinating stuff. Yeah. I'll be sure to switch it for you tomorrow. But, you know, a lot of questions there, a lot of things we will get into after this. But before all of that, a little bit of a lighter story. Are you missing anything now that used to annoy you? If you've got any thoughts here or anything that used to annoy you that doesn't anymore, let us know over on Twitter at BFM Radio or drop us a message on WhatsApp at 018-789-8899. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9. Welcome back to The Morning Run. I'm Roshan Kanisan with Koo Soo Chuang and Noel Lim in the studio this Thursday morning. I was about to say Wednesday because I think we all seem to be losing a bit of time there.
Now, plus some perspective, man.
Yes, and that was The Birds with I'll Feel a Whole Lot Better. And I will feel a whole lot better once we find a vaccine for the COVID-19 because that means we'll be able to realistically end things like the MCO and social distancing and all of that because longer term, these are things that we're going to have to live with, right? I think now in China, they're talking about how there's another cluster that's come up.
And, yeah, that's right. One of the provinces, 600,000 population. So they have voluntarily closed down again.
So these are things that are going to be popping up over time. And on the lighter side of things, there was this Guardian article that was quite humorous about things that used to annoy you that you are missing now. It's actually a cartoon about a dog, a first dog on the moon, that's what it's called. And so that prompted me to think about, is there anything that you miss now that used to annoy you, Chuang?
Well, there's a lot of stuff that used to annoy me, but I don't miss it, like traffic jams and crowds at malls and trying to find a parking space. Now you go to malls, I mean, you can't even get into a mall, right? You go to SS2, there's you can find a parking space anywhere, right? No, I don't miss any of that then.
Yes, I have to say I've been slowly eliminating things that used to annoy me anyway. So that was pre-COVID-19. But I have to say, you know, when you ask this question, I think it would be my mother.
Ah.
Yeah, I've not seen her for more than a month.
Oh, that's an interesting. Yeah,
that's interesting. Yeah.
That would be something I didn't think about.
Yeah, you know, like, you know, some daughters and mothers do have like that love-hate relationship. I sort of have that. But, you know, I do miss her. It's more than a month. I talked to her on the phone, of course. But, you know, I did try to convince her to come up to KL before the lockdown, before the movement control order. But she rather stay at home. She said in case I infect her. So she was more worried about that.
Well, you are coming from the big, bad city.
Petaling Jaya.
Yes, the big, big, bad city. Now, mine's not as profound as yours, Noel. Mine is very simply So the barber and me used to be I would just go there because I had to, right? I needed to, well, be presentable to society. And the first 1-2 weeks of the MCL, I was like, okay, this is cool. I don't have to go to the barber. I don't have to wait. I don't have to sit there and not do anything. And now I actually do miss my barber. I mean, my face is just unkempt.
You can receive BFM on your beard.
See,
radio signals.
Correct. I mean, give it another 2 weeks, I'm sure we'll get some frequency
from
on
the
it.
Most politically correct person.
Yes. No, yeah. So yeah, these are little things that, you know, I used to get annoyed. We wait behind five people for the time. Yes, Chong, it's hilarious. I know. But
laughter is the best medicine, man. Laughter. You know what I mean? If you can laugh in the face of adversity, you win every time.
True, but laughter is only the best medicine after real medicine or vaccines.
Chong, you should laugh at yourself.
No, I do all the time. I have no choice. I look in the mirror, I laugh already. Like, oh my God, what happened to you, man?
Laugh or cry. Anyway, Roshan, but I don't think you're alone. There are many guys out there who also are missing their barber too. And I think very soon their wives will have to go onto YouTube and figure out how to cut their hair.
Actually, my uncle is training his children how to do that. So they go into the garden and they've got razors and trimmers and they're doing it for him.
What, in a bowl? And
Your hair is very short. It's very easy. But, you know, long hair like yours, it's hard, like, you know.
No, long hair, well, then we just leave it long, right? We just let it continue to grow long.
Yeah, it's more of just the messiness of it. Like, there's only so much I can do to comb my beard down. But enough about my beard.
So we changed Noelle's name to Rapunzel, like, you know.
Sure, Chong.
It's only a 2-week movement control order.
I mean, another thing that I've heard from my friends, not me personally, because we still need to come to work. For those who are really stuck at home, they miss doing chores, right? It used to annoy them having to do, because it's a sense of being able to leave the house. To go get groceries for the house, to...
You can still do that, lah. Can.
Correct,
can,
correct. But
like, one to a car, okay, mind
one
you.
One to a car, when or 10 if kilometers. Someone else in the household wants to do it. So you have to fight for that. You can't just simply go.
Fight for that, yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's a privilege to leave your house now.
It is, actually, it is. I tell you what, you used to... It would have annoyed you in the past, but you miss it now, and I don't want to be putting too much of a dark humor thing on things, like your boss, right? Imagine if you used to have a job and then now you don't, and then you miss your boss, but you can't because you don't have a job, you know what I mean? Or you can't see him, like, you know, or her, as the case may be.
Very, very real there, Chong, going straight, going very deep there with that. But I'm sure there are various things that people miss. But I think there also is, there are more things that we've eliminated, because I think that's how you started, right, Noel? You're talking about there are a lot of things that you've eliminated that used to annoy you that have made you, I guess, happier in some sense. But I guess the question is whether that offsets, right? Whether
okay, I've got one. I've got a good one. Okay, I've
fantastic.
Got a good one.
Okay, okay, finally,
a real good one.
A real one. Okay,
presence of
you know
intelligence.
How, like last time, you know, planning holidays is a real pain in the bottom,
oh,
right?
Yes, that's
do you know what I mean?
That's right. Yeah.
The flights, the connections, this and that. But now that you can't do it anymore, you're like, I just wish I could do that. And I seriously don't think I can plan a holiday for at least the next 12 months.
Actually, that is a great point. Planning holidays is a pain.
It is a pain, right?
And now just having not being able to plan for it is also quite... I do miss it.
Actually, you can plan. Just don't put the dates here. You can be a 2021 plan.
That's why. That's why you're from Seremban. Well...
Now, see, travel is one of those businesses that's going to have to, that's been impacted heavily by this and will hopefully evolve from this. Up next, we're going to be taking a look at other businesses or thoughts on how businesses can evolve from the MCO, from COVID-19, from all of this that we're facing right now. In the meantime, if you've got any thoughts, let us know over on Twitter at BFM Radio or drop us a message on WhatsApp at 018-789-8899. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, welcome back to The Morning Run. I'm Roshan Kanesan with Noel Lim and Kusu Chuang in the studio this morning. And that was Interpol with If You Really Love Nothing. And I really don't think it's the official Interpol there. But right now we're taking a look at how do you think businesses could evolve from this. Over the week, we have talked about different sectors, different businesses. I think yesterday we talked about retail, how that's changing, particularly as US numbers came out. I think 600,000 jobs lost there. That is the question on our mind, right? Because in every situation, there are budding industries that grow from that. Not all industries may survive, but just seeing how they evolve could be very important.
Yeah, you know, if you look at businesses as an entity comprised of several departments, whether it's HR or production or admin finance or manufacturing or sales or things like that, or top management, every single department has room for growth. And I'm going to cite two, which I think is very important, right? When it comes to admin finance, finance is very important because if you're a company that takes huge risks, takes on huge debts to take on, you know, big growth plans, you're going to be stuck out there in the high tide, you know, swimming out naked, basically, if the tide goes out. And you'll get found out very soon because if you can't make it first past the first 1 to 2 months, without the financial reserves, you're going to go bankrupt. Okay, so that's the first thing. And companies with huge balance sheets, and you know, you cite people like, I mean, later this morning, Mark Mobius, one of his tenets is basically balance sheets, right? If you've got a lot of cash in your balance sheet, like Apple does or Alphabet does, you can't ride out the storm. So that's the first thing. The second thing for me is basically production, right? If you are a manufacturer of goods and you say you go to the lowest basically cost of production, like say China. If China basically gets killed at its knees, you're sunk, you know, your production breaks down, right? So that's another thing that you can change after this.
Yeah, so Kusitrong, you'll be speaking to Mark Mobius of Mark Mobius Capital, that's the name of the firm, during the breakfast call at 8 a.m. Noel, what do you think? How do you think businesses will evolve or could evolve following this?
Any businesses who are not online yet for sure will have to go online because of this movement control order. And I think the key thing here is automation. That, you know, Malaysia has been trying to maintain this low cost base, and therefore there's always been more, I think there's preference for using people instead of investing in machines and relying on foreign labor. So I think that's going to change over time, right? You really have to invest in automation. Then the question is, what do you know, people, are people going to lose their jobs and all that, right? But I think maybe they will just be upskilled or reskilled for a different kind of job. And here I want to, you know, actually talk about a story that always sticks in my mind. I read this story about 4 or 5 years ago, and it's the founder of Cat and the Fiddle Cheesecake in Singapore. You can find their cheesecakes in Papa Rich, and they claim to have the best cheesecakes in the world.
I love cheesecake, by the way. The burnt cheesecake.
Yes. Yeah. Anyway, so the founder, Daniel Tay, he was stressed out completely from running his chain of bakeries that he started called Bakerzine in Singapore.
Oh, Bakerzine.
Yes,
okay.
Then he sold out, and because he was so stressed just running this operations. But anyway, so he started Cat and the Fiddle with very small staff force, but he invested a lot in machinery. And I think he got some grants or something from the government, some help. And, you know, he says, for example, he can process 250 kilograms of ingredients, prepare them in 5 minutes. He says it used to take him a day. So now there's so much more automation. And he sells to Malaysia, China, and all over the world just from his little tiny operations. When I say tiny, in terms of manpower.
Wow. Okay. So that's the thing. Automation does look like it's going to come to the forefront after this. And I've been seeing a lot of comments about how while that would be good for businesses, in the net effect, we could see more job losses, as we saw in the United States when they started offshoring a lot of the jobs to China in terms of manufacturing. And that's why you've got like 2 or 3 million people who don't have jobs in the Rust Belt and essentially swing elections. So that's another thing to be paying attention to, right? Because even if you lose, even if let's say you lose a net of 10-20% of the jobs, reskilling is not as easy, right? And if you're in the older bracket, it could be much harder for you to reskill and adapt new things. So I don't know how, like some things, like let's say if you have to manage the machines, you could need a degree or a master's or technical qualification. How do you get that? So that is another concern that I think we will have to deal with later on.
Yeah, so actually it's something, it's a perfectly valid point. So I think in the case of Cat and the Fiddle, I think what they did, they deployed staff to do more designing and more customer service kind of work, because I think that still needs some human touch, and they have the experience, right?
Well, some observations. I think that Singapore, foundationally speaking, the people are already much better trained. The second thing is that automation doesn't lend itself to all industries. I think manufacturing, especially of food, does lend itself to automation. But having said that, if Malaysia, which is by huge way of contrast, doesn't have a very well-trained workforce, it's very difficult for governments to say, hey, I'm going to allow these businesses to fail. Like, for example, if, say, AirAsia, just to use a very bad example, right, which hires about, 12, 13, 14,000 people, and a lot of them are lower-liners on the ground in terms of baggage handling stuff and what have you. You can't have these guys enter the, you know, just leave the workforce. Where is the social safety net? There is no safety net.
So it comes down to that, right? That policy on safety net. But I think even as individuals, you know, people in the 40s, in the 50s, you cannot afford to be complacent just because you're a CFO, it ends there. You have to continue to upgrade and upskill data analytics, for example.
Because your business could disappear. Data analytics is actually a good point that, Noel, because that's an entirely new branch of industry and can spread into many, many different things, because it's not just data analytics for one
thing. Easy to say, lah.
It's easy to say.
The other thing, if you can't teach an old dog new tricks, right, is something which is one of the basic personal finance rule 101s, right? If you start to rise the corporate ladder and you start to make much more money, say you're one of the people that makes 40,000 ringgit a month, 50,000 ringgit a month, if you have a lifestyle that is also a 50,000 ringgit a month lifestyle, you are sunk if you lose your job, because mm-hmm. you've got no reserves. You don't have your 6 month buffer, right?
Yeah.
I know some people in the financial services sector who have a 50,000 ringgit income, who live a 100,000 ringgit a month lifestyle.
Yeah, and that is a common issue, I think, when it comes to personal finance. Everyone thinks that if you make a lot of money, you don't have financial problems, but that is incorrect, especially when your expenses grow in tandem with your income. And actually, speaking about personal finance, BFM is hosting its first ever webinar today.
Roshan Kanesan is BFM. Hosting.
We'll be hosting this webinar.
So anyway, if you want to join us, it will be just go on to bfm.my/webinar, and I'll be speaking to Nirmala Subramaniam of AKPK on whether you should be taking on the loan moratorium itself. Right now, we're going into the 6:30 a.m. news bulletin, and when we come back, we'll be talking about travel limits and Ramadan bazaars. To take you to the news, we have, and after that, if there's anything you want to let us know, you can get in touch with Twitter on Twitter at BFM Radio, or WhatsApp at 018-789-8899. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, welcome back to The Morning Run. I'm Roshan Kanesan with Noel Lim and Kusu Chuang in the studio with me. And that was Kings of Convenience with Toxic Girl. Now let's talk about some MCO updates or some news around here, specifically focusing on travel limits and Ramadan bazaars. It looks like you can't go beyond 10 kilometers from your house, and that Selangor has officially said that there will be no Ramadan bazaars this time around.
Yep, so if you get caught without valid reason, the cops can put you away in jail for 6 months and or fine you 1,000 ringgit. So basically, it's not worth having to travel to Butterworth to get your favourite beef kway teow lah, basically. Just stay in your neighbourhood, man.
I think so far the police has been quite nice. They just ask you to U-turn if you are not able to show proof of documents. I think that it was caught on video. I think somebody said that he was going to Damansara Perdana. This was the roadblock on Persiaran Surian. And I think the police asked him, why do you use this way, and asked him to show proof of documentation. And the person was unfortunately unable to show any IC or anything. And then the police went on to give a lecture. Say, already we say, you know, we have done so much publicity on this that you must travel with some document to prove at least where you stay. If it's not the IC, because I know sometimes the IC does not reflect your residence, but it should at least show your utility bill, for example.
Oh, yeah. Gotta show your address, right?
Mm. Yes, you have to show where you're from.
Last night, I checked from my house to this building. It's 9.4 kilometers. So I'm just within the 10km radius.
But in your case, you are providing an essential service. You are
allowed to. Yeah, yeah.
And also, we've got documents from MCMC and the company show that. Because the other thing is also not going out of those stipulated hours, right? Which is, I think, 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. for private vehicles. But yeah, so this was a story that I think the first time I heard this was when you, Noel, told us about the Kepong story. Essentially, the cop told, at the same roadblock, the Persiaran Surian roadblock, told the guy to, you basically U-turn and go back.
Yes, yeah. He said, the police asked him, why are you coming from Kepong to come to Kota Damansara? and the police didn't even wait for the answer. He just said, U-turn back.
Yeah, and I think the emphasis here again, everyone, is to focus that down. And now that was just, I think, a guideline. Now it's gazetted. And it's about maintaining the if there's any possibility of a spread, you localize it at any point. And again, it's social distancing, but now in between neighborhoods as well. The other thing when it comes to social distancing is the news around the Ramadan bazaars that in Selangor has been cancelled and they're looking to take it online. And I think there was a bit of the FT minister, Anumusa, got a bit of flack for this as well. But he's come out to say that no decision has been made on it. They're looking to hear from local authorities first. So it's not that they're saying that it is going to be one. They're saying that they don't know. That's the FT ministry. Selangor has said, the government has said that there won't be. And they're looking at how they can bring it online, virtual bazaars, essentially.
Yeah, I wonder how that's going to work, though.
Essentially, delivery, like you buy it online and then it gets sent to you.
Mm. Yeah, so if you know your favorite stall and this is where, you might have to come up with some fancy names or something, and then people recognize you and then they just order online. And I know some entrepreneurs are starting to work on this, especially people who know this community.
Yeah, I think one of the concerns is the timing, right? Because I think Ramadan is expected to start on April 23rd, whilst the order ends on April 14th. So there is a very, very, it's only a week apart.
Yeah, there's a nine-day grey area there, right?
Yeah, and I think there's a concern that, again, the MCO has been, a lot of work has been put into the MCO to prevent mass gatherings, to prevent cross-contamination, to make sure that we social distance, and the opposite of that is any form of bazaar, not just limited to
Ramadan. Unless they're going to do some really stringent crowd control, stall separation, distancing, and so forth.
It's going to be quite tough as well, because there's so many people involved.
Yes, it's always often by the roadside.
Yeah. Well, recoveries are the fastest that they've ever been in one day, but there's no sign of the thing stopping yet. So I'm just wondering whether this lockdown continues or not.
Yeah, I think I saw a graph from MIER. And it showed at least their projection of what the curve should have been and what the curve is currently.
I think we're ahead,
It is flattening.
Yeah.
There is a significant flattening there, so which means that the MCO is working, because if we're still seeing between the numbers on a daily basis between 100 and 150, 180, if the curve had not flattened, it would be way higher than that, 200, 300, 400 a day, because it won't stay around the same bracket, it would exponentially increase on a daily basis.
Yes, so our problem started when we got complacent, right? When we shifted our focus to our politics and forgot about the COVID-19 outbreak, and that's when that spike happened, right? So we cannot be complacent.
Right, and right now we're going into a few messages, and when we come back, we'll be taking a look at the papers and the portals. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, welcome back to The Morning Run. I'm Roshan Kanasin with Kusu Chuang and Noel Lim in the studio this morning. And that was Prisms by Temples. And right now we're taking a look at the papers and the portals. Noel, what do you have with you today?
Metro, Harian Metro, there are a few headlines here. Okay, so 108 people have recovered from COVID-19. So this is the highest that we've recorded for the day. And also 378 people are sitting in jail because of this, I guess, for violating the MCO. And then also, more disturbingly, this other article here, this headline here. So iLestari, where you can withdraw 500 ringgit a month, I think, for a period of time.
From your EPF, is it?
Yes, from your EPF account too. Now, there are scammers taking advantage of this. So they're calling people and say, claiming to be from EPF and trying to get private information from you. So this is basically like a PSA, a warning to say, don't give out any information on the phone if anyone calls, because EPF is not making such calls.
Yeah, I think that can be applied to most things. I think there were also some scares during when the loan moratoriums came about. Basically, any opportunity for scammers to make quick money, basically. So if normally the banks don't call you or EPF doesn't call you, you have to approach them. So if someone tries to call you, you say you call back the official, ask for their extension number and call the bank or the organization directly. Chuang, what do you have with you?
Okay, Roshan, don't hate me, okay? Because this is all about food again.
Fantastic.
Ching Bing, meals delivered to your doorstep in Penang, page 6 of the Star. So basically, these dishes are called Memories of Ancestor Meal Sets, okay? And this is a special home-cooked meal that will be delivered to the doorsteps of customers. Among the dishes, stir-fried vegetables, fried crab, sweet and sour fish, dry chicken with mango sauce, fried chicken with mango sauce, watercress soup and plain rice.
Do they have a similar service for Selangor?
I don't know,
lah. It's just for Penang.
Yeah, Penang. Has to be Penang people, like, Chuang, you know what I mean? Yeah.
You need to stop. You need to stop talking about food like this, because you are making me miss all these different foods. Definitely something I miss, but was never annoyed by. But going back to that earlier story we talked about, we actually have a tweet that from Lynn Mark, who used to, she says she used to hate
Lynn Mark.
Going to the market, didn't like the crowds, the heat, queuing for food. But what she would give for Banchan kuih. And Ipoh Hor Fun right now. Okay, again, we've gone back to food. I should have. Why does this always happen? But I guess that's the thing, right? Waiting for food. Now people would rather, are missing that. And it is. I do miss some food, Chuang. Every time you bring it up, I get a bit hungry.
Of course. Speaking of
food, I've got the NST in front of me. And the headline is Food Distribution Eased for the Needy. I think there was a lot of concern as NGOs were hampered in their ability to provide food to the needy. I think the ministry has taken that up now. So the government is drawing up standard operating procedures for NGOs that are welfare-oriented to focus on this, how to distribute food and dry goods. I think that was that balance between the concern over cross-contamination and between the NGOs and the people that they were helping. So hopefully the SOP is coming quickly and they're able to help these vulnerable groups very quickly, because time really is of the essence when it comes to things like this. And I actually found another thing in the NST that was particularly interesting to me. It's Watch Your Electricity Use urges to the Naga National. This is page 9 of the NST. And they're giving a few tips on it. I think there are concerns over electricity usage across the nation.
Because we are getting discounts now.
And that as well, as everyone goes... everyone stays at home. So some advice they give is make sure all windows, doors and air circulation holes are closed while using the aircon. Clean the air conditioner filter. Avoid using hot water for laundry unless necessary, and maximize the use of the washing machine. So don't simply use like every day the washing machine, right? Unplug electrical appliances when not in use. Switch off electrical appliances such as fans in an empty room. Reduce the amount of time you use for the water heater, whether it's showering or to heat up water, and just reduce the use of clothes dryers. Very, very granular.
Very detailed.
They've gone very specific.
But we're supposed to keep clean all the time.
Maybe they've got this data analytics for all of this. Like, these are the top things that people are not using efficiently.
Okay, well, people are working from home.
The sun has been out really hot, so maybe don't use the dryer.
I tell you, just to reduce your laundry, have a shower in cold water, then go outside naked, and then dry in the hot sun. That's my tip for the masses. That's
next thing you know, there'll be some headline there. Don't lie in the nude.
I've got some good news. The Malaysian Insight is telling people that a thriller called Daulat that mirrors Putrajaya's power struggles will air online on iFlix for free.
Oh, this was the... So I saw the trailer for this and it was really cool.
Is that?
Yeah, it was essentially... It was two actors playing politicians talking about party politics and then coalitional politics and how they needed to play certain roles in order to gain voters. And
was one of the locales a Sheraton hotel?
I don't know, Chuang. It looked very fancy. It did pique my attention, and I was just hoping that it would come through. And it's going to be online. I'm definitely going to be catching this.
iFlix, yeah.
Very fast of them.
That's right.
It's actually also very smart of them, because everyone's talking about Netflix right now. This could be a good way of getting attention locally for iFlix to get subscriptions there. So good news for them. Maybe we'll
see. Good news for everybody, I think.
Yeah. If you haven't checked out the trailer, Daulat, this is not a paid promo by any chance, but, supporting Malaysian film, it's always a good way
It depends whose lens the producers wear, right, when they produce a show like this.
Yes. And something we've noticed on Twitter, that the hashtag Makcik Kia is trending right now. And we'll be talking about this in about an hour with Pri Gunasegaran about the representation of Makcik Kia in the stimulus package and whether enough is being done for her. That will be at about 7:45. Now, right now, we're going into a few messages. And after that, the 7 a.m. news bulletin. And when we come back, we'll be talking about markets with Tony Nash of Complete Intelligence. To take you to the news, Soul Clap by Sly and the Family Stone. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.